Welcome to the Volley Pod, where we're all about coaching kids volleyball. With drills, skills, and scenarios, we keep things fast, fun, and effective. Presented by the Art of Coaching Volleyball, the Volley Pod is your new source for coaching information. Good morning and welcome to the Volley Pod, presented by the Art of Coaching Volleyball. How are you today, Todd?
Davis, a little tired here today. It's, gotta get the mic set. That's how tired I am. You know, it's, back from a tournament and, it was a long weekend, but a fun weekend. I have a great group and we were in Arizona at the Tournament of Champions.
Okay, it's a good tournament.
Saw some teams. The team that won is Cornerstone Catholic.
Oh, wow.
From Texas.
Okay.
And I think it's Mike Carter. Do you know the guy from Alamo?
No, but I think that's a good point.
He's got 24 kids on his team.
Oh, my goodness.
They come in with this big Texas gang. And I think, who did they get in the final? Oh, they got MiraCosta in the final.
Oh, wow. What a tournament.
And so they got in. So I think Marymount and Mater Dei were in the semis.
That's a strong tournament.
Yeah, we played Marymount. We gave them we gave them a lesson in humility.
On our end, right?
On our end, of course.
Well, that's awesome. Well, so that sounds good. So you're coming back the day after, ready to go.
Yeah. So it was fun. We learned a little bit about ourselves. I think kids had a good time. So a little tired. You know how that's kind of post-tourney. You have a little fatigue, but kind of fun. Know a little bit more about our team. I got to get some that to-do list gets a little bigger.
I hear you. It's good to play good teams. I'm noticing the hat. Now, I haven't seen you wear the hat before. What's the deal with this?
Yeah, the feather hat. Yeah, kind of sad story. For those non-San Diego people, the Featherstone brothers, kind of iconic
San Diego volleyball.
Actually, they started in Manhattan Beach, came down to San Diego, went to San Diego State, played football at San Diego State, ran track. And then they were a doubles team, a fiery group of, 5'7" brothers who were just gnarly on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
And this hat was at John's memorial service about a year and a half ago. And his brother, Fred, John was actually a football coach at El Camino College.
Right.
His brother, Fred, was coach of Grossmont College for many years and ran Seaside Volleyball Club. So was a kind of preeminent boys coach in San Diego, legendary guy. You ran across Fred. Of course,
I ran across Fred and I ran across John. I don't think John would know who I am, but both great guys and like super intense, but like just good hearted.
Oh,
yeah. And,
they just all in.
All in and everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And John actually was a ref, AVP. Okay.
Oh, AVP nice.
You'd
nice.
See him reffing it.
Yes.
AVP,
okay. So. That's it. Right on. Well, you're on the skill of the week.
Skill of the week.
So
this week
is
a little coaching skill that I was thinking of, especially for new coaches.
Okay.
Because I kind of geared this down a little bit for not for, coaches who've been coaching for 20 years, but coaches who've maybe been, starting out. And I think we hear all the time this stuff like, hey, you got to play games and make things game-like. And so the idea is how to turn a drill into a game.
I love it. I love that idea. Kids don't even like the idea of a drill. If they hear it's a drill, they don't even want to do it.
Well, I think there's place and time for drills. But yes. I think that if you're a new coach and you hear this stuff, you hear coaches like you saying, you can't drill and kill.
Yeah.
And then say, well, how do you do it? So I think number one, you said like for kids, why do we want to do that? Number one, it's more fun. Yeah. You want to make fun for kids. And it's fun for coaches too. I think it's more fun for coaches. Secondly, the idea of teaching and reinforcing competitiveness.
Yes.
Hey, if you have some kind of game, there's a winner and a loser. And, I've had some pushback in my practices because kids lose a bunch. We play a bunch of doghouse and go, is that hurting their confidence? And my idea is, hey, losing is part of competition and we have to learn how to lose and we learn from it and move on.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you've played volleyball, I tell the kids all the time, hey, nobody's lost more. You know, I've lost more in volleyball than all of our kids put together. And it's part of the game. You have to learn how to do it. And so
Can I jump in real quick? Yeah. So my road to being a mediocre beach player was through losing, basically, at Huntington. When I was growing up, they basically had open courts. You would go sign up on the
name on the list, baby.
Lose first match, wait 9 matches, get back on, lose. And that was
it. See the best guys getting picked up over and over and over and playing over and over and over because they're the best guys. So they're getting picked up.
They're running the court and I'm sitting on the bench. But you know what? I actually think that made me value those opportunities even more. So I'm with you.
Yep. That's it. And then third, you know, the obvious one that we always talk about is more contextual learning.
Okay.
Yes. So you're learning in some kind of game. If the ball's going over the net in a game, you can do that. Then there's the hole. You're learning in the hole and not in the part. So it's more contextual. So I'll give you a couple examples.
Okay.
So the classic one we have is the butterfly drill, right? So we see that. We see a lot of teams using that to warm up, and I'll go into beginning coach practice and they get this and they go, okay, well, I can put a block of 15 to 20 minutes in my practice and butterfly and serve, because we need a serve pass. So let's just serve pass butterfly. Well, it's a drill. The kids will do it. But what are some things to make it competitive, turn it into some kind of game? So we could do things that are super simple, such as, okay, we're going to do it until we freeze to target 25 times.
I love it.
And so it's real simple. So now it's a little, hey, we're going to play a game. The drill's over when we get to 25. I'm going to count. And I'm 1, 1, 1, 2,
yep.
3, 3, 3, 4, yep. 25.
Yes.
We have success.
Right.
We're a group. It's a group number. So we have this little, we're competing together. Like this is cooperative type thing that we're doing. And once again,
your group versus the score in a sense. Yeah, I love it.
Yep. So that's it.
So cool.
From there, we can do a side versus side. So what if we don't go under the net? We stay on our side, and now we're doing passes to target, and it's my group against you're my assistant coach, and we're counting out loud. And like so we're going up the ladder. And maybe if you don't freeze, it's -1.
Okay.
And so then we get 1, 2, oh, 1.
Right.
And so then the kids get fired up, and then we could get fired up competing, right. And I get behind, I go, I don't want to lose to Davis. I can't lose
and
to
I'm
that
over
guy.
There. That's not a good pass. Yeah, right. Don't count that one. Yeah. I like it. That's awesome.
And then of course we can, you know, separate serve pass drills that are scored. And we have a couple of them we do. The one I like now is long court doubles.
Okay.
That we freeze frame, that's a point. So if we're playing long court doubles, and let's say we have one person up, one person back, I'm serving to you on that half court. You have to have your core completely behind the ball. And if you do, you get a point.
Okay.
If I can serve so you're unbalanced, so you have to be balanced with your core behind it.
Oh.
And I'm serving you so you can't do that. And that's worth a point. And then we just play the point out, and that's worth another point.
I like
and
that
and now it gets back into your serving you did last week about having variety.
Yes.
So if I can serve you short and you're unbalanced, even if you make a good pass, if you're unbalanced, I get the point.
I like that one a lot. That's a cool one. Do you have a name for that one?
If we freeze frame, we actually catch.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
The freeze frame is actually the first step.
Okay.
So I serve it, you catch it, are you balanced? So for beginners, it's freeze framing is easy. It's nicer. The ball's under control. You catch it. I got my core behind it. Mm-hmm. I was balanced on 2 feet. Passer got a point, toss it to the setter, and let's play volleyball.
I like
that.
And
then we just play 2-on-2. And so we get the idea of the game, and we're still working on serving.
That's really cool. I like that.
So those are the serving passing.
Nice.
How about attacking? So instead of we take the idea of hitting lines, what can we do with hitting lines? And the one I'll give you is what we call Stevenson half and half. And Stevenson was from the old beach, Coach John Stevenson. So he always did the beach type. So the player has the ball and low toss to the setter. The setter, I like the setter low set. So the passer has to pass it. Okay. And then a high set that we hit.
Okay.
And so we go, let's say we're working on chop line. And if we're working on chop line, we can do it on two sides. So we can hit on both sides because we're hitting down the line, and we can split our team in half. So one side is shagging, the other side is hitting. So let's say we have a team of 12. Okay. And we have a setter on each side. So we might have, let's say we have two setters, okay, and three players in each line, and they, okay, just stay in their line. So the max of three players in each line, okay, and they go for 2 minutes. How many can one side get into chop line in 2 minutes?
I love it.
And then the other group goes in, they shag. And a lot of times we get high scores get to go again.
I'd love that. Okay. That, awesome.
Okay. So real simple. They're still hitting lines, but we have a couple of people shagging, but we don't have long lines. We do things, if they get it, they get to repeat sometimes. We'll reinforce that in some different ways.
I like that.
Another one you might like is one that I use by beginners, what we call attackers versus diggers.
Okay.
And it's real simple. At the beginning level, let's say we're even tossing to hitters to just, let's say, work on approaches where I have the hitter calling their approach off a coach toss at the very beginning. But I'll only have half the team doing that. The other half is on defense, and they have to catch the attack.
I love it.
You just, yes, have to catch it.
Yes.
They have the whole court. So one person reading the whole court. If you hit it in the court, then no points are scored. And when the defense scores 15 points, so a ball in the net is worth 2 points for the defense.
Okay.
And any ball hit out is worth 1 point for the defense. A ball that is caught is worth 1 point. When you get to 15, flip-flop.
Oh.
Whichever team does it the fastest, if you put the clock on it, the team, okay, that does it the fastest gets to go again and hit. Because everybody wants to hit.
Yes. Awesome.
So
that's cool.
Attackers versus diggers for young teams like that. And once again, they can catch it in the beginning. They can dig it and catch it.
Right.
You can put doubles where they have to dig it and catch it in front of the 10-foot line.
Okay.
There are a bunch of different ways to do it. Cool. And then, of course, let's play 5-on-5. Okay. And let's put our, let's have, hey, we're playing 5-on-5. Any ball hit, any ball chop line from the left is worth 2 points.
I like it.
And so we're just playing 5-on-5.
Right.
But we're putting a bunch of points in for chop and line.
Creating an incentive for them to do a behavior that we know will be helpful in the game.
Yeah. And then, the game that we both love is, you named it, blocky ball. Yes. Is the one that we start where when you're tooling the block, we play just a game, and the point doesn't start until the ball hits the block. So once again, instead of isolating this in, we have a person and a block and on a box or something. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're playing. Points don't start until the ball hits the block, and then we start rocking and rolling with some coverage, with some rundown deflections, and with hitters celebrating tools.
So cool.
Okay. And lastly, we'll get into serving, because serving can get redundant. I think that's one that, you mentioned the one last week I really like, and that's the golf.
Serving golf.
Serving golf is the first. One I like for beginning players is what we call serve three. We would do it for every water break. So you go out and serve three, and then let's say we had 10 players, we would count up how many were in.
Oh, okay.
And cool. So people would just hold up numbers, and so we would go around and we would just count. It'd be 2, 3, 6, 9. And let's say with 10 players, let's say we'd have maybe 22 out of 30. Now we need 23 to get water. Go and do it again. And then so they go out and do it again. And they're just serve and chase, right. Kind of mayhem. But little bits and pieces of serving put into your practice, kind of competitive. Yeah. It's cooperative as a team because they're trying to get the goal.
I like that.
And then you start to see, hey, players who are getting three all the time, players that are struggling to get, the ones and twos. And then sometimes that player who's on the one and two will come in with three, and then the other player will go down and get one. And right. Then they go, we do half and half sometimes. Okay. If we're serving, we don't want, we're worried about kids getting hit or balls rolling underneath. So right. Half and half, and just in a row serving.
Okay.
So put the, put a piece of elastic up. You got to get it under the elastic. It's got to float. How many can you get in a row in 2 minutes?
I like it.
Go. And then get the other half shagging, half doing that. Reverse it. Go again. the half that has the high scores get to go again.
I love it.
Okay.
Love it.
So you're earning more reps with high scores. And then the last one we do every practice in my high school is we clipper with what we call a sprint switch. So if you miss a bad miss for us, so a bad miss is a ball that goes way high, okay, or a ball that is like in the bottom of the net. But if you hit the tape and it bounces back, or you hit low trajectory and it goes just out, that's a good miss. You don't have to sprint switch.
Okay.
But if you hit a ball that's over the elastic and goes out of bounds, I have to sprint switch with you. We're in pairs going back and forth until our whole team gets 5 clippers.
I like it.
And we get 5 clippers, we're done. So people are yelling them out. There's always a little celebration at the end. So there's a little competition. We're fighting time to get. And then, you can start adding, time to get 6 clippers now. We're getting better. And so those are the serving.
I love it. And, one of the things your teams always do well is serve and pass. So I'm stealing every one of those serving things.
Just little right bits, away. Just little bits. Rather, hey, serving is boring. Go serve for 2 minutes. Well, there has to be something. What's on it?
Exactly.
What's on it? You gotta put something on it.
I like playing for extra reps too. I don't do that often, but it's motivating. They like volleyball. They want to be there. They want more reps. So awesome stuff. So really cool. Well, thanks a lot.
All right.
We'll definitely check it out.
All right. That whole idea of turning some of those drills. How can you gamify it a little bit? There's a bunch of different ways to do it. You can be creative. And if the kids are smiling and having fun, you did a good job.
And if you create that engagement, they will be more into it and they'll get better too.
Yep.
That's so fun. So right on. So we're going to get into a scenario that I hope coaches don't know, but I know that I know all too well. And that is when you're on a losing run. So what do coaches do, or what can we do when your team's on a losing skid?
This is a perfect one for me because we lost 8 straight sets to start the tournament.
Wow.
Yeah. 8 straight.
Yeah. And there's so many things that feel natural to do, right? And I'm going to try to focus on what the ideal thing is and kind of going against our humanistic nature of wanting to just smash a clipboard.
I thought that was going to be number one.
or boot a ball into the pier or something. That's what we feel like we want to do. But as coaches, we need to master ourselves if we want to be helpful to our team. So the first thing you want to do when you start losing, I believe, is stay the course. So one of the first mistakes, I believe, is when you start losing, you throw everything out. And I think that can be a mistake, and you end up throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. And if you feel that you're on track and you're not getting the results, maybe you tweak it a little bit, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I don't think you need to throw the whole thing out. And I see
that you don't need a lobotomy.
Exactly. So stay the course, especially what you know is working. But that brings us to, how do we know it's working, right? So everyone keeps stats, but a lot of the stats aren't really indicative of how well we're doing for us, because they're dependent on the other team.
Yep.
So I got to make sure that I know how well my team is doing compared to my team. And so some of those stats might be how many times we spiked it over, or how many times we got the block closed, or and that might even be a little bit other team dependent, right? But things that are more under our control, can we keep those things under our awareness so that we can improve upon them, right? So stay the course, but make sure that our course is something that we're aware of. We're trying to get better at, like last week we got 25 spikes. This week we're trying for 30.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Okay. Next, I love this one. And I think the terminology is awesome. Frame now as the baseline. So we're losing, but we're here now and we can move up. We can improve. I think this is a time perspective shifting, basically, right? You're bringing them more into the present, as opposed to dwelling on all those losses, right?
What I call kind of rubbing salt into the wounds, So just kind of reminding them of every mistake, like, don't do that. Wait a minute. Like, don't rub salt into that error. It's okay. Let's move. What's going to happen next? Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Not even reminding them of the losing streak. Right. Like, oh, we've lost 8. If we do this, well, like, don't even mention it. Just play, And when you play, just frame now as the baseline. Okay. We're hitting whatever, 200 right now. We'd like to get that to 225, whatever it is. Right. And then celebrate those improvements. Right. Like a win, you may not get to where a win is the prize. meaning like I'm trying my best and I may not be able to beat you guys, but I can sure improve and play better, you know, if I'm focused on the right stuff. So celebrate improvements, even if they are, I mean, if they're significant and they're important to you, right? And separate your results from the experience.
It's tough to do.
It's so tough.
Easy to say right now when we're sitting here, Davis.
Absolutely. And I'm saying this, I take losses hard, and I mean, I'm an emotional dude, you know, and this one has been tough for me.
Yeah, no. And hey, I'm in the same boat, and I've learned to, you know, hold my frustrations in check when I'm around the team, and then go crazy with the assistant coaches.
Yes, yes. But, you know, the way I frame this, though, is have you ever had a very good team that it wasn't a great experience? I have. And I'm sure you have, too. So it's like, it's really not about how good you are.
Yeah.
Even though it feels like it in the moment a lot of times. So it's like, can you separate those out? Like, oh, we're having everyone's getting along. We've had no injuries.
Right. Well, but and I think the other thing is that idea of, hey, listen, this adversity is good for us.
Yes, absolutely.
We're so together that this adversity really tests us. And the fact that we're remaining together is a real tribute to you guys.
Absolutely.
Because it's easy to stay together when we're kicking everybody's ass.
Yeah. If you're winning fixes everything. Right. And then, but if everything's going wrong and you stay together, now that's something special. Yep. Right. So that's a great point. Individualize your feedback, right? We're losing, but your one outside is doing amazing.
That's a huge one for me that I'm really trying with my coaching and to get out of this, you know, like, you know, you guys just aren't doing this. Well, a couple players are doing that, and individuals saying, hey, our defensive effort here can improve.
Right.
So that can apply to everybody.
Yep.
And then the ones who maybe made some great and point out those models. Yep. Hey, look at Davis. He's a great model for us. We see him doing that. Let's everybody copy that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Using a positive frame of mind for pointing out a player.
Right. Even though, you know, Todd was over there, you know, smoking a cigarette and letting a tip drop, you know, or whatever.
That's funny. I got a couple more here. So next is feed the future, right? So if you're on a losing skid, some of those players will be coming back next year, probably, right? And so next year might be a different year. You never know what's going to happen, right?
Okay.
So again, reframing, thinking of time, not now, but thinking forward in time. Connect with those people that are into it, right? There's going to be people that are into it. And also you'll have some people that may check out a little bit when it's when they're losing, some sort of quiet quitting. But people that are into it, they're going to like volleyball, whether they're winning or losing, and connect with those people.
I like
it. And then finally, and this is so important and also so challenging, enjoy the little things. Enjoy the little things. If you can enjoy the little things, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose. Same thing with life. It's a good way to be.
Hey, you can catch them improving when you're losing and, you know, seeing those little improvements and getting excited about those. And great topic. I think it's you leave out a lot of, you know, what not to do. And it's good you leave out what not to do, because I think we all know those things that, hey, you don't want to jump on your kids and
playing.
So that idea that I have that I'll throw in kind of one idea to kind of wrap that up. And that is coach as purveyor of hope.
Oh,
I think I've said that before.
I love this too, though.
And that's kind of my new one where, hey, good things are around the corner. Who's going to make the big dig that's going to turn us around? Who's going to go on the serving streak for us?
Yes.
And so they leave with that rather than that past we're saying where we just made these mistakes or something to get behind.
I love that. It's really cool. Right on.
Great topic. I love it.
Cool. So
I love it.
What is up with our videos?
Our videos, there's so many because we're talking about turning, you know, turning drills into games. I put a couple of them. The first is Mark Rosen, Michigan's coach, and he has one, making your serve pass drills competitive. So just a couple examples of how they do it at Michigan. Pretty simple stuff. The second one is a guy, I think you might have heard of a guy named Karch Karai.
Karch?
Yeah, pretty good.
So he's a competitive guy, and he was an outside hitter, so he has his outside hitter tournament.
I like that.
Nice way to work with your attackers rather than being in a hitting line. Right. Let's play an outside hitter tournament.
Fun.
And so then the third one is, you know, we think about defense and, hey, how can we, you know, the reps on defense we always get. And Terry has the title of his video is How Can Three Beat Six? So you have these three players playing against six, and you want them defending like madmen or mad women. So kind of cool way to get that, ramp up that defensive intensity, because you go out against six and you get some points, you make a great dig, you celebrate that win when you have half the number of players on your side.
That's cool.
That's always fun.
Oh, that's very
so cool. Those are the videos, you nice. Know, we got some videos. Those will be unlocked on the
AOC website.
On the AOC website, and there are tons of others. I had my choice of sometimes I'm, you know, scratching to get ones that are, you know, but this time I had
tons. Oh yeah,
tons. It was great.
And real quick, with the serving and passing, some people cannot pass when they're stressed, right? So to make it competitive is absolutely important to figuring out who can actually pass the game like.
Yep.
So I love it. And same thing goes with performing at the end of the game. There's so many ways reasons you want to make it competitive. Yeah. So awesome. So, all right. So the resource.
What's the resource today?
The resource of the week is a very important short book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Oh, Len
Lencioni.
Lencioni, yeah, yes. I remember that book.
Yes, and it is a fantastic read. And basically, all it does is point out the five, in this author's mind, major dysfunctions of a team. It's really, it goes with what the title is, but when you start to hear what the five are, you can really start to see how these can be cancers on the team. And I'll just tell you the five.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So the first one is absence of trust.
Okay.
And this is built into a bit of a pyramid. So absence of trust. If you don't have trust, you don't have a foundation, really can't get towards the rest. Fear of conflict. Okay. So many organizations, they have conflicts, but they don't address them and they just fester. Lack of commitment, where people are not pulling their weight, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right. And then it builds resentment. Avoidance of accountability, right? Where they're not willing to take, you know, responsibility for their actions. And then also inattention to results. So those are the five, but the way she presents it is as it's a fictional story of a new owner business, you know, she's going to run the business. Yep. And she comes in and this business has all these five dysfunctions and how she addresses it. And it's really, really neat to see how she addresses it, because she's aware of these five dysfunctions before coming in.
Yep.
And how she just kind of knocks them all down.
Yeah, really that is cool. Because it's that putting it in a narrative like that makes it so much more enjoyable to read.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, versus talking about.
Great one. Yeah. That's awesome.
Really cool. So we had an awesome episode. Once again, we talked about.
We had the first one was our skill.
Our skill.
Okay. Making was
a, making drill into it, a game.
Drill into game.
Second one was if you happen to be losing or on a losing skid, you know, some ways to approach that. Right. And then we all obviously have the videos unlocked for everyone that wants to go check them out on our yep. coaching website. And then our resource was the five dysfunctions of a team.
And then coming up on December 3rd.
Oh, yes. This is so cool.
Don't forget, Davis, you got that on your calendar. Yes. December 3rd, we have the AOC JVA virtual clinic.
So
we have
cool.
some great coaches involved. I'll be doing a little Q&A at the end of every half hour session.
That's so awesome.
And I'm getting fired up with these coaches. We got one of the Shondell brothers and those guys.
Oh man.
They
so good.
They are good.
All those guys that you're going to be interviewing out there is so good. I'm so jealous you're going to be out there, but I'm going to try to check it out. So,
well, yeah. It's going to be virtual. It's going to be easy access.
Yep. Anyone
so
that
get
wants
on
to
the
watch
AOC
it.
Website. Check it out.
Sounds good. Right on, Todd. Well, once again, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Davis.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.